You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson, home of the biggest selection of Harley-Davidsons in the Midwest. I-29 south of the airport or shop online at WorthHarleyDavidson.com. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
To all the Trojan family, we're in this together. It's going to take every single one of us to do what we have to do. We all have different roles in that. And I think it's important for us at this time to all pull together. I can promise you that you're going to get the best out of myself. You're going to get the best out of our staff, out of our players. And we're going to put something on that field that you're proud of.
Were we disappointed? Absolutely. And that disappointment lasts until you realize you've now got to move forward. And so, would have liked more notice. We were surprised by it yesterday, but that was his decision.
Other than retiring from your current profession, could you see yourself leaving Notre Dame of your own volition?
No.
And now, a man who can hear Alabama's AD laughing all the way from here, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Alabama's AD laughing.
The money that they're paying Saban compared to the money that LSU's paying for Brian Kelly.
I actually think the man who's laughing is Nick Saban.
Yeah, Nick Saban.
I will tell you this, they are paying everybody in college football like they're Nick Saban or 95% of Nick Saban until Nick Saban resets the bar.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If you're Nick Saban's agent, you think you're not calling and going, hey, we can get a little piece of this action. OU's open. Like, I think it's one of the dirty little secrets here. I think Alabama is going to have to turn around and put Nick Saban at $12.5 million, $13 million, $14 million, $15 million. Who knows what the number will be. They're going to have to turn around and give him a raise.
I'm going to need some more money.
I think it's coming. There's a number of things. It's been a lot of fun. I've said it many times if you listen to the program for a long time. You know that I love the college football and college basketball coaching carousel because of moments like this. This is the biggest one we've ever seen, and it's only just beginning. It's, you know, there's two more of the blue bloods that have to fill their jobs. But as we always say, when blue bloods change coaches, the ripples are felt throughout the entire industry of college football. And let's be clear, it's an industry. I liked what Todd Lebo said today. He said, programs? I'm not calling them programs anymore. These kids are getting paid. They're franchises. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And I think what we're seeing here with all of it, let's first be clear. Curtis, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
You're worth $2 billion.
Yes, I am.
Right? This is a make-believe world.
Oh, yeah.
You're worth $2 billion. And you decide, the Hunt family, for whatever reason, decides that they're going to sell the Kansas City Chiefs. And the asking price is $3 billion. And you've got to get together $1.5 billion. Right? So you get together, you liquefy $750 million. You finance another $750 million so that you've still got $1.25 billion in worth that's not up against anything, although the other 750 is up against your 1.25, so you better hope the NFL doesn't bottom out. And then you go get a bunch of partners. You spend time getting partners together to buy the Kansas City Chiefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? This is kind of what has to happen. You've got to get the controlling guys got to be 51. I think the NFL rules are you got to have 51% ownership of the club, and I think it's 60%, so maybe you'd have to go more like $800 million in cash. You liquefy $800 million, and you put that into the team. Your money, $800 million, gone. You still have the value of the team, right? But the actual cash, able to get your hands on it, gone, right? Then you go out and you get partners. They represent 49%. They, too, have to come through with liquid cash. Those aren't easy asks to get together. You get that money together, and you purchase the Chiefs. And now every time the Chiefs win, you get to strut around your friends and talk about, I'm the guy who put it all together. I hired Andy Reid. This is what Clark Hunt and the Hunt family, the five brothers and sisters, there's four brothers and I don't know the makeup. I know there's five of them total.
Right.
Anyway, but Clark and Lamar Jr. being the two most prominent figures, but there's five of them all total. And so this is what they get to do. They get to, you know, strut around and be very proud, as they should be, that they stand watch on a civic treasure, what I would call the Kansas City Chiefs. And they have been a part of the ownership group and in whatever roles they play in bringing Andy Reid and Brett Veach and John Dorsey when he was here, who helped bring Patrick Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes is a civic treasure. You get to strut around and, you know, reap the rewards of that, the monetary rewards of the team making money.
Show off your big Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, Super Bowl rings and just what it's meant for the city. You get to take pride in it. Like, I you know, Cliff Illig is trying to undertake something. He's really and the Illig family and Sporting Kansas City are trying to spearhead getting the World Cup to Kansas City. It's something he wants to do. It's something that they are investing in heavily. Money that they, I assume, will never see back. Maybe they will. But what will be an iconic moment in the history of this city is if we can get World Cup soccer to this town, right? That's what you get to do if you own the Kansas City Chiefs, right? You've got this civic treasure, or you get the World Cup here, or you own Sporting, or you own the Royals. John Sherman and his group with the Royals, very, very similar. They get to be a part of it. Hopefully soon, you know, bringing World Series baseball back to Kansas City soon. They get to have that feeling. Think about that. Is it, if you had $2 billion, Curtis, would it be worth that cost?
It's hard
for you. You have $2
billion.
You liquefy $800 million.
Yes, yes.
And you finance another $700 million against, you know, the $2 billion you got, against the value of the team. Yeah. And you work really hard bringing partners together, dealing with the lawyers, writing up all the contracts, months of work, really. At a cost, probably hundreds of thousands, if not several million dollars just in work to be done to get it all in order to then buy it. If you had $2 billion, would you do it?
Yes.
And you think it'd be worth it?
I do. Boy, it's really hard to get the mindset of a guy who has $2 billion. But from my perspective, I would think yes, because I've still got, what, half a bill left.
Yeah, worst
case. I'm going to make money off that. I have an asset.
Yeah, it goes tees up, okay, and you're half a million.
Yeah.
All right, let's see if we can get by, Martha. You know, like that's where you're at. Because if you got $2 billion, you clearly got a gal. We know that.
And her name's Martha.
Yeah. So, you know, and she's worth $5 billion and is 96 because her name is Martha. Anyway, I digress. So anyway, put yourself in the situation. So, like, I think all of us who are sitting here with about 1.99999 billion less than 2 billion are like, hell yeah. Like, I love the Chiefs. If I could own the Chiefs, it'd be the best. And if something that's never happened, my only risk is that something that's never happened, an NFL franchise became worth less. But worst case scenario, I still got 500 million. Hell yeah. Sign me up to own the Chiefs. Right? How about this, Curtis? You're worth $2 billion. And for $5 million a year, for the next 10 years, you can be certain that Missouri has one of the best football coaches in the country. And you get to walk around Columbia, Missouri. You get to walk around the Faurot Field.
Mm-hmm.
You get to strut around the entire state. You get to strut around Final Fours and college football playoffs, knowing you're worth $2 billion. And for $5 million, you're one of two guys. Let's make it $10 million. You're the only guy that's responsible for keeping Mel Tucker at Michigan State, for getting Lincoln Riley to USC, for getting Brian Kelly to LSU. $10 million. You're the guy. And you get to walk around and go, I brought Brian Kelly here. See, we're playing for the national championship. I did that. I pay his salary. I'm the guy. They came to me and they said, we need $10 million and we can get Brian Kelly and get this thing going. And we can go butt heads with Nick Saban. And here we are, boys. We beat Nick Saban in the league. We took down Kirby Smart in the SEC championship game. And we're playing in the college football playoffs today because I spent $10 million. Would you feel pretty good being able to do that?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. I'm the reason why LSU's kicking ass. Or in your case, I'm the reason why Missouri for the first time ever is playing in the college football playoffs. Hell yeah, you'd love it. And which one's a lot better investment? $1.5
billion?
Or $10 million over 10 years. $10 million a year for 10 years. Because that's what happened at Michigan State. Two guys supposedly said, we ain't losing this guy. We're going $5 million each, and they're covering. Two boosters are covering the cost of Mel Tucker. And they strut around East Lansing, Michigan, as they hopefully win Big Ten titles. Right? They'll strut around there and talk about how we're the guys. That's where we're at. Billionaires' toys. That's what college football and college basketball are today. Because believe me, that's who's paying these salaries. They're going and asking the money bags to pay the salaries. So, by the way, if Lance Leipold ends up being the real deal, KU money guys, get ready. Because you're going to pay for it.
The phone call's
coming.
Because
that's how it works. It's coming. The check's coming. They probably already are paying for whatever Leipold is right now,
yeah,
to be clear with you. But Bill Self is on the market as a coach, right? Kansas is standing behind him in the investigation. But what have we said? When Nick Saban was breaking the bank at $4 million, I said, he is a bargain. The guy's worth like $40 million. He might make $40 million before his contract, before his career is over. Because they're waking up to what it is, and the billionaires enjoy watching their schools win. And it's a hell of a lot cheaper to fund Mel Tucker's contract than it is to buy the stinking Lions. And it's a lot easier if that one doesn't work to then pay the next guy. You're watching where this is going. The bigger the boy, the bigger the toy. And for billionaires, that toy is their college football and college basketball programs. Really college football. Because I think we can see one clear distinction here. Or maybe it's just the difference with the fact that Lincoln Riley was an iconic figure at Oklahoma. He was not, let me be clear what I said, was not an iconic figure at Oklahoma because Oklahoma hasn't backed up a Brinks truck for Ryan Day at Ohio State yet. They haven't said, here's $25 million to Nick Saban yet. And by all accounts, on the cheapness that they were handling with Lincoln Riley, they didn't seem to get it. Right? But that is where this is going. And when you think about it, $5 million if you're worth, you know, $5 billion is nothing. This is where it's going, right? This is the reality of college athletics. If you're a school that doesn't have billionaires behind you, then you're going to have to constantly find prospects, right? We've seen this. Wichita State was paying Greg Marshall at, what, 85, 90% of the top contract, maybe? Maybe it was only 50. Maybe Mike Krzyzewski was out there at 8 when he was making $3.5 million. But the Koch family was behind the donations at Wichita State. So they said, no, we're keeping our guy. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to Texas. We'll keep him. We'll pay him. We'll give him the jet, the golf courses, the cars, buy the house. We'll do it. That's where it's at with college athletics. That's where we're at today with college athletics. And if you're a billionaire, hey, didn't T. Boone Pickens make more of an impact with his $1 billion or so that he gave, or whatever it was, hundreds of millions that he gave to Oklahoma State? Didn't he make more of an impact giving them the resources, the stadium, the facilities to keep a guy like Mike Gundy in place monetarily? Didn't he do more at Oklahoma State than he would have done by owning 20% of the Cowboys?
Absolutely.
Or all of the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Even more so.
I mean, where do you get more satisfaction? Listen, I'm not trying to dissuade anybody from buying the Chiefs, should they ever be for sale. Please do. I want them here in Kansas City. But I'm just telling you, they're looking around, and this is nothing for these people. It's staggering money for us to think about, $110 million to be paid to Lincoln Riley over 10 years. Buy him a $6 million house in Los Angeles. Pay off his two houses in Oklahoma for an extra million over what they're worth. If he can sell it for even less, great, he makes even more money. But off their value, he's going to get $1 million just to sell his own two houses because they're going to pay 500 grand over it. I don't know what the, if you know the specifics, it's like, no, that's the price of the house plus five, whatever. He's basically going to pocket $1 million for selling two houses in Oklahoma. 24/7 use of a private jet for his family. 24/7. But they don't care. Somebody owns two jets. What do I care if you're using one of them? Go ahead. If I get a point down on the field and see, hey, Tommy Trojan giving the old victory sign down there in the college football playoff semifinal, yeah, that's because of me. Because I brought Lincoln Riley here. Think about the ego that you get to have amongst your college buddies, amongst the other people who give the money. Man, that's as good as it gets. And we're watching it play out here. And I'm not here to villainize it. It's just what it is. It's the reality of where things are. It's what you can do when you're at the top of the economic food chain. It's amazing. And by the way, along the way, stop crying. Stop crying about coaches leaving. I got no time. And I will tell you why when we come back. I got no time whatsoever to hear the crying and whining about, oh, my coach is gone. None. None whatsoever. We'll take a break. 913-3810-810. Grab a phone line. If you want to jump in here, we got a lot going on in the program today. Dalton Reisner is going to join us. Former K-State Wildcat, now Denver Bronco. For the big I-70 barbecue bet, it's back, our boys at Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, repping KC strong against GQ Barbecue in Denver. We're hoping to connect with Chris Jones, but Dalton Reisner and his Reisner Up Foundation, along with Chris Jones and his Stone Cold Foundation, Sac Nation Foundation, are getting together and got a little wager on the game and going to feed some first responders some great barbecue in Kansas City and Denver. So we'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on with Dalton Reisner. Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus will be with us. Tim Grunhard in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll talk a lot about the Notre Dame situation with Grunny as he's very close to that. Gary Parrish, college basketball guru, with us in the 5 o'clock hour. Great program coming your way. It's right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. You're in the program.
The Program with Soren Petro.
You familiar with the term dumber than a bag of hammers?
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. Thanks for joining us here on a Tuesday. Big movings. Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame and headed to LSU. Did he make the right choice? I think he got paid more. I think that's definitely part of the equation. But to win a national championship, do you have a better shot at LSU or a better shot at Notre Dame? I think the one thing that's clear about this is that USC moved first because I think they wanted Lincoln Riley over Brian Kelly. Now, you could say, well, of course, they paid him more, so it must have cost more. Well, once USC came off the board, LSU at 10 for 95, if Notre Dame's not going to go there, is probably the best offer that's out there. If Notre Dame was willing to match but not top and says, hey, we're Notre Dame, you should want to coach here over anywhere, so we'll match any offer you get, but we ain't topping it, then he would have chosen LSU as a better chance to win a national championship. USC, LSU, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma. Where do you have the best chance to win a national championship?
I'm going to say it's between USC and LSU, I think.
Okay, why?
Because Notre Dame they haven't really sniffed. They got in the championship game in 12 and have been in two playoffs since then, two of the last 3 years, actually.
Well, that's certainly sniffing.
That's sniffing it, I guess. But they've got
rolled.
If that's
not sniffing it, then what right. is Mizzou in Kansas?
Right, right.
Now, K-State.
They've gotten there and then got kind of roll each time, particularly I think it was 31-14 the last time. So what their last year, so it wasn't terrible. They got rolled by.
I grant you, but getting on the field is the biggest part, and they've gotten on the field three times.
Yeah, I would say one because LSU has won one since the last time.
But only gotten on the field once.
Yeah, Yeah.
So if any of them seems like the lucky dog of the bunch between those that have actually played for it, Oklahoma, LSU, and Notre Dame, LSU seem to be the luckiest dog of the bunch. Oklahoma and Notre Dame have been more consistent about being able to get on the field, and USC hasn't, yet Lincoln Riley left OU. Now, I think we all know it's finances and what they're willing to give. That's the hard part of the equation.
Right.
If you're just going off the history of it, it's USC, OU, and Notre Dame in front of LSU. Because the other three have many more national championships, right?
Well, yeah, but LSU's won three since Notre Dame won their last one. That's why I would put LSU right now ahead of Notre Dame.
Good point.
I think what makes the conversation the best part is because while looking at all of these schools as four big boy jobs, they're all inherently flawed. USC might be the best job to win a national championship because they're out west, but they're also in a city where they're probably the fifth biggest ticket.
Yeah.
You know, Oklahoma's transitioning to the SEC. I just think that when you look at each school, LSU's in financial terrible shape. So I think that's what makes the question so funny. If I had to give my opinion, I would say that USC is where you're most likely to win a national championship.
I think you're right. I think USC is number one, and I think there are no flaws at USC. I know your point about, you know, being second fiddle to the Rams and Chargers, which is a different dynamic. But USC did, and that's a different era, but back in the day when John Robinson and
John McKay
were winning national championships there, the Rams were in L.A. So I'm with you. I do think that it's different. Like being, and I think that's one of the reasons why Lincoln Riley at his press conference out there said, we will fill the stadium. Because there are people at USC concerned. I mean, that's a statement that he's going to have to back up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a little more out of his control than he wants, right? Than he'd like to think. Because I do think there's a lot of entertainment competition out there, and I think it will be harder. Now the capacity is less. They've taken away a number of the seats. They've added a massive press box and luxury suites. You got to sell those luxury suites, but I think it's easier to sell. Might be easier to sell luxury suites in LA than it is just regular tickets. But I think USC's the top job because I think you got the easiest path through your conference. That's not going anywhere on the Power Four scale. It's going to be listed as one of those four, and I think you're going to have the easiest path to consistently winning your conference, which I think is going to be part of the equation for at least those four schools and hopefully for the remaining Big 12, but it's going to get you an automatic spot. I mean, I can make you a case that if the Big 12 is going to continue to get an automatic conference championship spot, then Oklahoma State's now a better job than Oklahoma. Because I think you got a lot better chance of winning in the new Big 12 than you do
probably
the SEC.
Probably so. And that's the one difference between with Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly going, you know, both having the opportunity to coach in the SEC. Brian Kelly isn't taking his current squad into brand new territory and trying to recruit. He's going to a place that already has a fairly well-established recruiting base in the conference he's going to be in. Oklahoma doesn't. That's why I don't think those are quite even Steven, where it actually might be easier for Brian Kelly to win a national title in the SEC at LSU than it would have been at Notre Dame, whereas I don't think that's the case with Lincoln Riley.
And to the point you were making, Petro, I mean, OU might be traditionally a better program, but Okie State, for as weird and eccentric as Mike Gundy is, he's already in place. And I know that he's flirted a lot of times, but it doesn't seem like he's going anywhere.
Now, and then the news, Mark Rogers telling us that they gave him his money back. He's now getting paid. He'll probably get a raise off of that. Listen, I'm saying if the Big 12 gets its champion as an automatic spot in the playoffs. If not, then no, it gets much harder. It's much harder. But let me put this out there. But isn't Notre Dame kind of like USC? I mean, their schedule was at Florida State, Toledo, Purdue, Wisconsin, Cincinnati, they lost, at Virginia Tech, USC, North Carolina, Navy, at Virginia, Georgia Tech, and at Stanford. That's a USC-like path. I mean, they could find their way in there. They need Cincinnati to lose and probably Michigan to lose to be able to find their way up into that spot. Maybe it's just Cincinnati and either one of Oklahoma State or Michigan, whatever it is. But they're not 2% to get in the playoffs, right? But that schedule will get you there a lot. So, I mean, I think from the standpoint of, like, and you get to pick your schedule, and just about everybody will take your game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're going to play a home and home, you can build a really good non, well, the whole thing's a non-con schedule, but power, a select, perfectly selected group of power four or fives that give you just enough teeth to say the schedule's legit, but not so overwhelming that you're likely to lose at least one, if not two or three. I mean, the SEC means you could be 9-3 and the second best team in the country, and you ain't going to make it, right, with some rugged losses. That's what I think. I'm with you. I think LSU's recruiting grounds, the easier academics, makes it at least the equal to Notre Dame. But I think the ability to chart your own path still makes that a pretty plum job. Not that anyone's saying the job sucks. We're comparing it, you know, the best amongst the best. I'll say this. If Oklahoma's not going to pay for jets and houses and cars and golf courses and $10 million, then I think Oklahoma's in trouble. And all they got to do is look at Nebraska.
Yep.
And I think just the word being out there that they're not going to pay for that kind of stuff is damaging to where that program ranks. I think you might rank them right now. USC, LSU, and Notre Dame I might almost call co-favorites, unless Notre Dame's not going to fund all it takes to get the coach. And then last would be Oklahoma. And I hate saying that, but I think it might very well be the case, right? Might very well be the case. And by the way, for the kids, don't anybody tell me, you feel bad for the kids. Get in the transfer portal. Get your name, image, and likeness. It ain't the old days. You're not handcuffed to a program you can't leave, and you can get paid if you're worth being paid. So the crying and whining about boo-hoo to the poor program and boo-hoo to the kids, definitely don't use the kids anymore because they can leave. They have those freedoms now that the coaches have. Right? If you want to say it sucks because I lost my coach and I like my coach, okay, fine. But this is the cost of doing business at the highest level of college athletics. Let's take a break. We'll welcome in Dalton Reisner, former K-State Wildcat turned left guard for the Denver Broncos. He's next here on the program.
The Program with Seren Petro.
Do you like the left tackles that are available in this draft?
Yeah, I like them a lot.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. The holidays are upon us. People are giving, right? That's what we like. And, of course, we've got a great event coming up again this year. It's the I-70 Barbecue Bet, our friends at Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. We know the best barbecue in the world, although my guys at Joe's say GQ Barbecue in Denver is out of this world as well. The wager between them and, of course, between Dalton Reisner, former K-State Wildcat turned left guard for the Denver Broncos, and our own Chris Jones, as their foundations are part of this event as well. And, of course, going to be feeding some of our first responders, nurses, police, fire that are out front during a difficult time, working a lot of hours, during this pandemic. And, again, this time going to get a great barbecue meal from our two great barbecue locations, Joe's Kansas City Barbecue here in KC, GQ Barbecue in Denver, and Dalton Reisner from the Denver Broncos joins us here in the program. Dalton, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate the time. People have no idea how giving you have been. I may share that story at some point as to how great a guy you've been just for us getting you all hooked up. But tell me, listen, why do you love barbecue, and why do you think this is the best way to share some holiday spirit with our first responders?
Well, like you said, man, giving back is huge, and we all have different platforms in this life, and I choose to use the platform I have with the NFL to give back and to be good to others and hopefully make an impact. Big shout out to Chris Jones because I believe he does the same thing. So every year, you know, last year we did this for the first year together. I'm doing this again this year. I think it's so important. We got a big rivalry between the Chiefs and the Broncos, both in the AFC West, so that's always fun. But then, too, it's always nice to get some exposure for Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Not sure if they need it. And then the same thing with GQ Barbecue here in Denver, Colorado. Not sure that they need it either. Both booming spots, love barbecue. They make some great food, man, and they do great for the community as well if we're talking about impact. And thirdly, whenever we're doing it for first responders, I don't know what we would do without first responders. I think that sometimes their work goes unnoticed, but a lot of us know how much they put in and all the work that they do to make this world go round. So really, in all facets, it's just a cool deal.
Tell me, what all is going on? I think people in Manhattan, Kansas know you're your passion for giving back in your Rise Up Foundation. Tell me some of the stuff that's going on with your Rise Up Foundation and why it's so important for you. You just said to use your platform and make a difference in this world.
Yeah, man. The Rise Up Foundation is something that I carry with me every single day, and I care so much about it. One of those deals that you have this platform with the NFL. You're in the national spotlight. Millions of people are watching you. You have the fan base of Denver, Colorado, on and on. And how are you going to use that platform for good? So when I created the Rise Up Foundation, I created it because I wanted to do good in this world. That's simply what I wanted to do. I don't care if I'm remembered as the best left guard in NFL football or in Kansas State football. I care about the impact that I make along the way. And we're always doing that week to week. If I were to tell you what we've been up to, it would take an hour, man. But everyone can go check it out at risingerup.org. You can check us out at the Riser Up Foundation on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And you'll get caught up real quick with what we've been up to, man. But to put it all in a nutshell, whatever smile we can put on someone's face, whatever positive impact we can make in people's lives is what we're all about.
You know, tell me, what is it about you guards that are like this? I covered Will Shields here in Kansas City for a long time, and Will, won the NFL Man of the Year award, and gave back with his Will to Succeed Foundation, continues to give back with that foundation here in Kansas City. Both you guys are amazing players, and to be a player that can play at a high level on the football field, you've got to be supremely aggressive and physical. How do you go from being so rough, so tough, so physical in your mindset and what you're doing, and then walk off the field and become a guy that's thinking about everybody else and trying to give back? I marvel at how well you guys are able to be so aggressive but also be so giving. Like, has that always been a part of you, or is it hard for you to get yourself up to be that physical and tough in the profession you play?
Yeah, man. You know, I think at a young age, I always learned about a switch. First off, shout out to Will Shields, man. Have a tremendous amount of respect for him and what he did in his NFL career. And two, you know, when I talk about the switch, it's something I learned at a young age from my father. And he talked about when you hit the field, you got to flip that switch. No one likes, if I were to be the same person I was on the football field in everyday life, you would have hung up on me by now. And I want to have many, very many friends in this life. I promise you that. So when I get on the football field, that means business. That's my work. That's my career. That's my resume. That's what I've been doing my whole life. And when I get on that field, I flip a switch. I turn into a different person. And there is no nice. There's no time for any of that. And you want to know why? Because I got to go against guys like Chris Jones. And you got to be on top of your stuff when you go against these defensive tackles, these defensive ends in the NFL. All these guys got talent, and they're angry too, and they're not nice in the football field either. So I think it's just one of those things that when you put the cleats on, when you put the pads on, you become invincible. It doesn't matter if you got pain anywhere in your body. It doesn't matter what's going on. You become invincible, and you get ready to go when you hit the football field, man. So that's something that I've always taught myself, is the man I am off the field is much more important than the work that I do on the field, if that makes sense. So whenever I get on the field, man, I got to turn into a different person. When I get off the field, I go back to being Dalton Risner and being good to people around me, man.
We are talking to Dalton Risner here in the program. Broncos left guard, of course, former great K-State Wildcat, All-American K-State Wildcat. You mentioned, like, fighting through things. I mean, you've only missed one game, if I'm not mistaken, in your entire college and pro career. Is that right?
Yep, I missed one game at Kansas State. It was a bowl game, okay. And I missed one game, my first game in the NFL this season. So yeah, I've been able to be very consistent in playing football games. Man, injuries are always tough. A lot of things got to battle through. So that's definitely something I'm very proud of.
But you got to prep for it too, right? Like there's a lot of work that goes into the off season to being ready to go through that grind, isn't there?
Oh, there's a ton, man. The food you eat, the way you recover, the amount of sleep that you get, the amount of time you spend in the training room, the extra hours outside of practice, the extra hours before and after, getting the treatment early, you name it, man. There's a lot that goes into this game. We'd be sitting here talking for hours talking about it all, but we're called professional athletes for a reason. And, you know, to be a professional, it's not as easy as just showing up on Sunday and flipping a switch. There's a lot of work that goes on the weeks leading up to the games, and truly 365 days out of the year. You know, you can't gain weight, you can't do anything crazy in the off season and get hurt, you can't go off the deep end with your weight or your body fat, you name it. This is a 365 a day work throughout the whole year, man.
And listen, we're talking about some fun stuff, a bet, barbecue, feeding people that certainly could use a break and a great meal from these two great barbecue establishments in Joe's Kansas City Barbecue and GQ Barbecue in Denver. But this is a monster game, right? Like, I mean, this is for first place in the AFC West. This thing is as tight as it gets. You guys are coming off a huge win against the Chargers. Like, you know, this is – I mean, look, I know every week you're supposed to say it's the biggest game of the year. This is a massive game, and I'm sure Denver is as pumped as Kansas City is for this game right now.
Yeah, it's a huge one, man. From our perspective here in Denver, you guys have beat us 11 times in a row, and you guys have ran the division. Let's be honest. You guys have run the division the last few years. And for us here in Denver, I know it's still a very big deal to you guys out there in Kansas City. I know how you guys' fans are. I know how much you guys care. It's the same thing here in Denver, man. We're a very prideful fan base, very prideful team, and we're having a good season. We feel like we could have done a lot of things better, but truth be told, we're going into this week with an opportunity to win and be first in the AFC West. And that's not a lock for the rest of the year. I mean, you know, you win this game, and yeah, you call it first, but guess what? You know, Kansas City will still be 7-5. The Chiefs and the Chargers and the Raiders are going to be right behind us still. So, I mean, it's anyone's game at this point. We got a lot of divisional games left. There's 17 games this season, so we still got 6 games left, man. There's a lot of work to be done, but this game is still.
Is the mindset in Denver to be a tough physical team, like defense, grind it, you know, pound the rock? Is that a mindset that is now, like you mentioned, hey, there were some things that you could have been a little bit different earlier on, but you guys have now found that mindset?
You know, I think every team in the NFL, the more I'm around the game of football, every team wants to have that mindset. Every team wants to have the defense that is gritty, that shuts down teams. Every football team wants to run the ball. No football team wants to be one-dimensional. I mean, you know, even us with Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick and Jerry Jeudy and Teddy Bridgewater, even the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and Byron Pringle, my dog from Kansas State. I mean, every team knows that they can throw the ball, but at the same time, every team wants to be able to establish the run game because that keeps you two-dimensional. You can run, you can pass, you can play action, on and on and on. So, of course, that's a mentality that we want to have as a team. And then truth be told, I think that's what every team in the NFL is after.
Yeah, and easier said than done, right? But when you get into the divisional games and you play twice per year, I know this is the first game between the Chiefs and Broncos this year, but, you know, it is – the physicality becomes even more important because everybody knows each other's tendencies, right? You guys have played so many games against each other that a lot of times it just does come down to who's going to be more physical.
Yeah. Physicality is huge. And that's not just in the trenches on all offensive line and D-line. That's for tight ends, for wide receivers, cornerbacks, linebackers, running backs, safeties, you name it. Physicality is the name of the game. That's the sport that we play. It's football. It's physical. And I think most of the time, the more physical team usually finds themselves winning on Sundays.
We're talking to Dalton Risner, his Risner Up Foundation, along with Chris Jones, who we'll talk to later in the week. His Sac Nation Foundation coming together for the I-70 barbecue bet with our friends at Joe's Kansas City Barbecue and GQ Barbecue. What is your – I got to ask you at least one barbecue question. What is your favorite barbecue? Is it ribs? Is it burnt ends? Is it pulled pork? What's your go-to? Brisket?
Burnt ends is easily probably my favorite thing. I'm not too big on real fatty barbecue. I like kind of more the lean meat. So a good pulled pork, man, pulled pork sandwich. I like doing pulled pork and coleslaw. The burnt ends, I love that, man. I like how they're crunchy, all that good stuff, man. I do like some ribs. Kind of depends on the barbecue joint, but if we're talking about Joe's Kansas City Barbecue or GQ, you name it on the menu, I love it.
Dalton Risner is with us. Time for our final four quickies before we let Dalton get back to his day and get back to some work. Dalton, just give me the first thing that kind of pops in your mind, just a brief answer on this. Tell me, when was the last time you talked to Bill Snyder?
Ooh, last week. I made my way down to the Kansas State versus Baylor game for my bye week and went up to the press box and watched the game with Coach Snyder. So that's my guy.
Oh, that's awesome. That's fantastic. If you weren't playing football, what would you be doing now?
Being a chef, man. Open up a restaurant, whipping it up in the kitchen.
That's even better. That's the offensive linemen, always smart guys. It's funny how that works. All right. Let's see. If you didn't go to K-State, where would you have ended up? What did K-State beat out? Who they beat out for your college football days?
Missouri. Missouri was my second choice. Missouri and Kansas State were kind of my last two that I decided between. So I would have found myself a Mizzou Tiger if I didn't go to Kansas State.
Yeah, the Tigers blew it on that one. I'll say that. All right. And finally, most importantly, we know the offensive lineman, nobody looks better in clothes than offensive lineman. But which color looks better on you, purple or orange?
That's tough. Ah, gosh. Man, you're making me decide. That's so hard. You know what, man? I'm going to go with orange. I've been an orange and blue guy my whole life. I took a little 5-year vacation out to Kansas and became purple for a while, and that'll always be with me. But I think the blue and orange would be.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to lie to you. We hated seeing you and Drew Locke, a couple of guys. You know, I know you're originally from Colorado, but, you know, a K-State guy. We hated seeing you guys go to the Broncos. But, listen, we got nothing but love for all our local guys, whether it's guys that just come from college or like Drew who grew up here in town. Nothing but love for you. Every single game you play, except for when you play the Kansas City Chiefs. So, listen, I appreciate you doing this and giving back to the community. I know you do it in so many ways, but the first responders are going to love it. It's going to be a great meal, and it's a lot of fun for us. Dalton, thanks so much for giving us some of your time. Have a great game. Stay healthy, and we'll talk to you again on down the road.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. God bless. And for all those Chiefs fans out there, go Broncos, y'all.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question, sponsored by Good Sense, chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, the Chiefs have won 11 straight games over the Broncos. What is the Chiefs' second longest winning streak over a single opponent? Who is it? Brought to you by Good Sense.